Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners.
Darling, I don't think I've ever been more nervous in my life.
Well, you've said that before. Come on.
It's a big challenge, darling.
He's a nice guy.
He might be nice, but he judges food.
He judges your favourite cooking
programme. And it is my favourite cooking programme on earth. I've never missed an episode.
He's a very nice man.
Is he?
Very nice. In fact, we probably won't bring this up in the episode because it may embarrass him, but when I was a judge on MasterChef, I was 9 weeks postpartum, and the only thing I said yes to doing for work was MasterChef because it was an honour. And I was on MasterChef Professionals, and the day was going a bit longer than one had told me it would go, and so my boobs started leaking with my red dress.
I don't think we all need to know this.
And John Turode was the only person that said, get her a serviette, get her a napkin.
Gosh.
What a guy.
I just wanted to show
that he's a very nice bloke. Oh, and I had chicken in my teeth, and he was the only bugger that told me I had chicken
I'd
in my teeth.
I'd rather hear about the chicken in your teeth.
Well,
and
you know, that's, I've called that a good guy. John Turode, he used to live around the corner, I think.
Where does he live now? Yeah, he moved.
I don't know, but you love his partner's recipes, don't you?
I like his partner's recipes, but I have to be honest, I've been anxious about cooking.
Why?
Well, because he's a judge, so I've tried to push the boat out, but having some of the staple dishes that I know I can cook. Mm-hmm. I do think some of them have been a success, but I do worry about my olive oil ice cream, Jessie.
Well,
I used olive oil that was harvested
on James and Rose's
new land. They're from their olives. They press the olive oil themselves.
Who's James and Rose?
They're friends from Skopelos.
Right, okay.
And they got 70 litres.
Crushed with their own bare feet?
They went to the olive oil factory. Okay, and it's absolutely the most delicious olive oil. So I thought I'd make olive oil ice cream.
Gorgeous.
Right? So I thought I'll push the boat out and got my Burford Browns.
Which we love. With that very orange yolk.
I think I'd have done better with a paler yolk, to be perfectly frank. I now have neon orange olive oil ice cream.
Well, it's unique. It's your USP.
Orange olive oil ice cream.
Yeah.
Looks like orangeade, darling.
Does it taste like olive oil ice cream?
Yeah, but I think when you look... Do you think when you look at something... It needs to suggest what you think is going to go in your mouth.
What about the fruit meat pie thing that Heston does? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fruit meat.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, I've made some chicken soup.
I love this. Can we just, we're pretending that mum just has it in the fridge because.
No, it didn't. I'm going to say I made it today for your children.
Lies. If you listen to this podcast, you'll know that when we have a critic or a chef on.
Well, someone I want to impress.
Mum wants to pull out all the stops and she delivers the chicken soup, which a lot of you have now tasted if you've come on the live tour. But mum doesn't want it to look like she's tried too hard. So she's trying to say like,
I made it for Jessie's children.
I did
buy some more little cartons in case he wanted to take some home.
My God, you're so pushy. So we're weirdly having chicken soup and matzo balls followed by...
Lebanese lamb.
Oh, yeah. Oh, have you heard that one, listeners, before? Who did you do that for last?
I don't know the last one I did it for.
That's another one that you just didn't want. You didn't want any stress, did you?
It has been stressful.
Has it?
Yeah, a little bit. My galette.
Okay, so your galette is from the damsons in my garden, which fall from my grumpy neighbour's garden. And we seem to get all of the damsons. Which, you know, is great. But I'm telling you, I'm going to make like a gin distillery, damson gin distillery.
Oh, that'd be great.
Because I have so many damsons.
Well, we've now got damson galette.
So we've done a damson galette.
To go with the olive oil ice cream.
What are we serving the lamb with?
We're doing a warm aubergine and spinach salad with sun-dried tomatoes and tahini and pine nuts, which is delicious. Mm. And you're doing some carrots.
Well, I just thought maybe we didn't have like a tang because, sorry. Look, listen, it's gorgeous, the warm salad. I love it.
Jessie always and the has sun-dried... a butt.
Look, maybe John Turow will be like, you've overcomplicated this. You didn't need it. And I will accept that critique. But I wanted something to cut through. And so I've done ribbon carrot salad. And the dressing is olive oil, red wine vinegar, orange blossom, cardamom, cumin, honey. And you do that and you dress it with some fresh mint, crumbled feta and pistachio. So I just thought that was going to be quite nice and like kicks through.
Should I go and...
Sorry if I bored you.
A little. Shall I go and get the spinach on?
Would you want to announce who we're having? Because I've kind of...
Oh, we're having the fabulous master chef genius that is John Turow.
John, hello.
Hi, John.
How are you?
I'm very well.
Oh, God, you've come with a lot of gifts. Is that why you were late, John?
I'm very pleased to meet you.
I was late because the traffic's horrendous.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, wow. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you for coming. Delicious. Please come and sit down.
Thank you. Do you want a drink? We've got...
No, I just
want
to look at you. How are you?
We've got white wine. We've got Whispering Angel, which Jessie says is very naff, but I love it.
It's a bit naff, isn't it?
I love it.
It's a bit naff.
We've got some champagne.
I'll drink some water. And then whatever you're drinking.
Do you want fizzy or stale water?
Anything as long
There's
as it runs. Whatever you, I don't mind.
Yeah,
something. I can get you.
You look great.
Oh God, thank you. Yeah, last time I saw you, I was very tired.
Well, also, the other thing, last time you saw me, you're lactating.
Oh mate.
Oh
shit!
I know.
I said it. I was like, mate. Yeah.
You were
very kind.
Well, that's why I don't.
That was
I've been late.
Working overtime.
Well, people are late.
My boobs told everybody. I'm
really sorry. You've got to go.
It must have been the only time you lactated.
I know.
She couldn't breastfeed.
I know. That's the bugger that I've struggled to breastfeed so much. But yeah, on the time when you're bloody judging dishes on MasterChef, you have leaky boobs. It was just
it's the excitement, isn't it?
Does anybody fancy a glass of champagne?
I think you do, and I will join you, Mum.
Obviously. But yeah, look, I'm never going to say no. Thank you very much.
So
how... Nice.
Oh, well, listen, you know, it's tough. I don't know whether you... When we had Jay Rayner on, he kind of gave us an email being like, please don't go to too much effort because people can really freak out when they cook for me. Because he's a food critic, you're obviously a chef, and obviously you're a very renowned master chef critic, judge, you know. But do you find that people stress out when they're cooking for you?
I think sometimes people do. And I try to say to people, I remember going to a friend's house and saying, you know, they said to me, do you want cheese or do you not want cheese with a burger? Oh. And I was such a relief, this sort of like thing of going, it's like, because it was cool, there was some salad on the table, and there was, you know, and I like that. But I mean, my friends who I have dinner with all the time never worry, because why would they?
No.
I mean, you go to people's houses because you love them. You don't go there because it's...
Also, it's probably quite nice to not be cooking. But then, actually, do you ever cook now, John?
Yeah, I cook. I cook all the time.
Do you? You're not fatigued by an exhausted...
How can you be fatigued by cooking?
So, are you inspired by when you're judging MasterChef? Straight in, but when you're judging MasterChef, do you go, right, I'm doing that when I get home, for me and Lisa?
There are certain things that I will always walk away from the MasterChef and say, that is cool.
Yeah.
Love the idea. Yeah. Think that's beautiful. It's really, it's because you're always learning, aren't you? There's always something new. And I think one of the things with MasterChef is that the amount of cultures that we have now coming on.
Yeah.
And what we've seen is an amazing emergence of where there's people who have kept their home lives and their home life and their culture and the food they eat at home very secret, almost if they're embarrassed about it. And now they're coming out and they're showing everybody this amazing food and where they shop and all these incredible things. So suddenly things like Subsea, which is Iranian, and stuff like that, which is like, wow. And that's what fills me with joy, because the world's such an extraordinarily massive joint, isn't it? I mean,
how many years have you been judging?
17.
I mean, it's got to be the best gig on telly.
I have the best job.
I think you do.
I think it's amazing.
But I've just had my birthday, and that means that I've just celebrated 40 years of professional cooking.
Congratulations. Wow. Well, cheers to that.
Yeah, and you got a big gong this year, didn't you?
We did, yeah.
Yeah. No, you did, personally. Or was it both of you?
We both got one.
Yeah. Was it an MBE?
MBE.
Oh.
I know. Can you imagine?
For your services.
Well, apparently, yeah. But, I mean, there was some sort of big hoo-ha, because I haven't had a British passport. I got one now.
Doesn't matter, they'll probably promote you to the House of Lords. You don't need a British passport to get there.
We won't talk about politics, shall we? Let's just leave that one somewhere else completely. But that, thank you. Yeah, MBE, it was a bit of a surprise. And actually, Greg had rung me and said, g'day, mate, we've got MBEs. I went, don't be ridiculous.
Did you think he was just trying to do one of his dad jokes?
Yeah, just, what are you talking about? He said, you have not got the email? No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Why didn't you get the email?
Because somehow or another had gone through somewhere else, and somehow they had to question whether I did have a British passport not. So apparently you can get an OBE if you don't have a British passport, but an MBE, you've got to have a British passport.
Okay, so where did you eat after you got your
award? I haven't had the investiture yet.
Okay, so where are you planning to go?
Is it Windsor or the Buckingham Palace?
Don't know who it's going to be. The only thing I've got, which I was very, very excited about, the only thing I've got which actually makes it formal, besides it was in the paper, was on the Saturday morning, which was something like the 3rd, I got a little bing at the door, and a letter came from Buckingham Palace, which was great. But inside it was a lovely card from Highgrove Estate. And it was a little personal note from Camilla, just saying, congratulations.
Do you know her?
I met her a couple of times. I know her son, Tom Parker Bowles, of course, very well. Yeah. And so I got this really lovely personal note, which was
that's
just like,
sweet.
Oh, that's really nice.
Really
that's
sweet, yeah.
Nice touch, yeah.
Yeah. Almost as nice as champagne. I'm really sorry I was late.
Okay, you were like 5 minutes late.
No, yeah. I was 9 minutes late.
Yeah. I love this. I don't know. Well, Sarah was like, we've had this email from John's team saying he is so sorry. He is going to be 5 to 10 minutes late. And he is so upset. And he's been in the car since 5:45. And she said, has he seen you rinse people that are late? Like, I mean,
no, the only
I went
one
for
was
Mel B.
Scary Spice.
Yeah.
She arrived an hour and a half late. And we'd done a
you
roast.
Have absolutely
how many
stretched that. It was I think it was
55 over an hour,
minutes.
Jessie.
Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, I thought, no, you don't like being late.
I don't like being late. I don't like having people's contact number and somehow or another the team because they're sort of so secretive about everything. So I couldn't even ring you and go, look, I'm really sorry, I'm left around the corner.
Well, so we'll give you your number. We'll give our numbers to you, absolutely. But that's do you think your timekeeping is because of being in the kitchen and being under pressure and having to, you know, deliver those services?
Yeah, I think that, and also I think it's just respect.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got to do something, and especially when people are talking about cooking and, you know, you're a guest, be on time.
Mm.
You know, I think it's really important, and I think you should, because there's nothing worse than sort of hanging around waiting, saying, oh, come on. Because that makes everybody just a little bit edgy, doesn't it?
Can I ask you, because I had a barbecue at the weekend, and I said for people to come at 3. And we were doing this big spit roast thing. We were kind of trying to do a gyros. My husband and I, we've got this brilliant bit of tech. It's this Somerset Grill barbecue, and it's got a rotisserie on it.
Yeah.
So we were like, right, we're going to have half of it lamb, half of it pork shoulder. It's going to go for, you know, 3-4 hours. It's going to... Actually, it was quite disappointing in the end. But the lamb worked better than the pork. Anyway, I said, come at 3. So I had the food ready for us to eat at, like, 3:30.
Jessica.
I know. And then people are like rocking up at
people
like 3:40. And I'm like, no, I said to come at 3. I mean 3.
She's
when I say
terrible.
3, come at 3. What do you think? When you invite people over for dinner, what's the etiquette that you go by?
Well, I think I'll always give them about 10 minutes leeway.
10 minutes. Okay, fine.
I'm fine. But I think if you say to somebody, I'm cooking dinner, be there at 3.
Yeah.
I think 3:30, rocking up 3:30, 3:45, it's a bit much.
You think? I don't.
Even if it's relaxed barbecue, because I was like, no, I've got a system.
Maybe it's now that you've got to reword it and sort of go, food's at 3.
Food is on, on the table.
So, you're so to the minute though.
Yeah.
Because usually you want to go to bed.
Yes. Yes, I do.
There's your brother.
I like to go to sleep.
Out.
My brother's about to start a night shift.
Right.
Are you going to come and say hi to John Turode, Alex?
Hi, Alex.
He's going
how are
to
you?
Be a doctor.
Hey. Oh, good man. On your bike?
On his bike.
You got to go far?
No, not far. Just Waterloo.
Oh, you're just going to say yes a really long way. And I've got it all the time.
Travel miles to save lives.
All right, Alan.
Where's your helmet, darling?
Okay, good. See ya.
Bye, darling.
Bye.
I love that you're going to check his, where's his helmet?
No, he used not to wear it. Now he does all the time, which is good. Yeah. And he's moving out.
So, yeah, he's moving near to me, which is great for babysitting. So, how's your day been, John? What's it look like today?
Today's been a good day, actually. I've had a nice day. I ride my bike into this morning, which is in White City.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a little dish for this morning. Did some baked eggs with some cheese toasties.
Oh, and nice. What was in your cheese toastie to make it?
Just two different types of cheese, Gruyere cheese and cheddar cheese. Mm. And then inside mustard and tomato ketchup. And on the outside, before you put it in the fry pan, because you fry pan the cheese toastie, you put mayonnaise. Mayonnaise makes the bread go crispy.
Oh, and I thought butter did the same.
It can do the same, but actually mayonnaise, it doesn't go sort of like that, but mayonnaise makes it go properly crispy on the outside. So you get a crispy outside.
Where did you find that out?
One of my home ec team, who when we were doing John Lisa's Weekend Kitchen, told us about it. They said, like, if you put mayonnaise on the outside of a toasted sandwich. See, so I did use it, and literally, it was only a few weeks ago, and I've got to use it.
I love that.
But I will always credit them. Alex, thanks very much indeed, mate. It was brilliant. I love you.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Your Lisa has changed my life.
Her
pavlova recipe from her mother.
She's so jealous about tonight.
She should have come.
I said the same. I said, come along. She went, no, I can't do that.
Oh my God, she should have come.
She should come with pleasure.
That's what I said. I said, come along. I'm sure they'll really be happy. Yeah. And if they don't like it, you can sit in the garden.
she could have come.
Should I get the soup on, Mum? It's on. Yeah. Okay. Should we tell John what we're having?
Can I just tell you something? The kitchen smells amazing.
Does it?
And
absolutely amazing.
I've been trying to tidy up because I know you like it. I am a complete MasterChef addict, so I've never missed an episode. I love everyone. And I said, Jesse, he hates an untidy kitchen, untidy area, so I've been trying to tidy up.
It's funny, isn't it, about the difference between home and work environment like that. You know, and I, with Lisa... When we work together, yeah, I always wipe down, I always clean up, I do the dishes, I do what I do. But you know, what's your home? That's completely different from actually. I think it's very different from being a professional kitchen. The problem with a professional kitchen is you're feeding other people who are usually paying for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so therefore,
you've got to keep it tidy.
And otherwise,
I agree.
I
think the more chaotic the people are on MasterChef, the more chaotic their food. They don't finish on time. They're not as well organized.
Maybe that's in the edit, Mum.
No, I think that's true. I think it is true. And it's quite about cooking.
And what's really interesting, I think, about it is that we've been doing this, you know, with MasterChef, we've been doing this where we get the dish served to us and the person comes and gives it to us. Mm. And you can tell by just looking at the plate, A, if they've had a bit of a fluster, or if they are chaotic, if they're really neat. And every so often you say, accountant, because they're really, really ordered, you know. And it's really, really fascinating. I think it's you know, you can tell somebody's personality, I think, by food.
Right. Well, can I just tell you something? Because I was going to kind of do it very casually, but let's tell the truth, Mum. One of the best things I cook is my chicken soup with matzo balls. So it doesn't really go with this dinner, but I decided I'd make you some anyway.
She only does it for the best.
So you need to have a go.
I'm really excited.
Good.
So. And you know, it will be a small portion.
And I bought some little carton so you can take Lisa some chicken soup and nuts and balls home.
Very excited. Good.
So that's what we're having as a starter. But she was going to pretend that she just made it for the kids. And would you like to try some? But no, you need to because you're the... You know, your top dog.
And this is something you grew up with.
Yeah, it's something I grew up, and it's really good.
Actually, I haven't tasted this
now. Oh, shit.
You've seen better taste it before we did the survey.
Oh, no, now I'm stressed.
Sure, it's fine.
I mean, hello. How many times do you think you've made it?
I can do it without it. Oh, how many times?
Sometimes your seasoning is different.
But you can smell it, can't you?
You can smell it now, can't you?
But you'll know what's right and what's wrong by the smell of it.
Yeah.
And I love that. Because I still think... And I think and I'm going to say something really controversial here. I think that women cook very, very differently from men, and their food usually tastes a lot better.
That's interesting.
There's something very loving and maternal about a mother's food.
Yeah, I think
food.
It's true.
And everybody will always return to their home because that's where the best food was.
And I'm going to say something probably that's going to get in trouble too, but I think that, and I'm making a total generalisation, and I'm speaking to somebody who is a chef, who is a male chef, but I'm really haphazard. That's just what I'm like when I cook. But I actually think my husband's far more methodical, and I feel like men sometimes are a bit more methodical. Is that right?
I think men are more confident.
Yeah, there's a kind of cocky.
I think there's a cockiness about men when they cook.
Peacock.
That it's going to be good. Yeah.
To you, and you are very good. Do you think Lisa's better than you?
I think Lisa's food is completely different from what I cook. And I've learnt a huge amount from that. But I mean, you know, I grew up without a mother. So when I've always cooked, and my father's always cooked, it's always had that same sort of thing. It's feeding a family. Mm. And I've always fed a family. That's what I do. I feed a family.
How many of you were there in your family?
Myself, my two brothers and my dad.
When did your mum pass away?
When I was four.
Oh, John. That's awful.
Well, yes, but it is. But people say, oh, we don't know any difference.
No.
Don't know
did
any difference.
Did he remarry?
He did, yeah. He did remarry. That was slightly dramatic because my brother was 16 at that time. I love that you were wincing that you know what's going to happen.
Keen, yeah.
It wasn't going to work. But my father's such a good cook, an amazing cook. But I mean, there is something extraordinary about food that I think that comes from the home. And my grandmother, my nana, taught me to cook originally when I was very young. And I can still taste her food. I can still smell the food. I can still, just the tiniest things. It would be a grilled lamb chop. Just the way she did it. There was just something about it. And it's very hard to get that.
So you were born in Australia?
Born in Australia, yeah.
Where?
I was born in Sydney.
Yeah.
Then we moved down to Melbourne when I was quite young.
Which where everyone says is the best food.
Such good food.
Very good food now, yeah, it was. But 1970s we're talking about. I mean,
it wasn't great.
No, I think we probably had, you know, lots of tins of things.
Yeah.
And my nana, when we moved with my nana in the early 1970s, and my nana and when in her kitchen... probably never ever saw a pack of pasta. Would have never probably opened a tin of tomatoes. Everything she had was, you know, it was just, you know, it was meat and two veg and it was stuff from the local bakery or whatever it might be. What have we got? I mean, it smells unbelievable.
This is a Lebanese lamb.
It's Lebanese lamb, which you cook only for 40 minutes.
Wow.
Back to your childhood. So you lost your mum at 4, and then your dad was a great cook. Do you remember you say your nana taught you how to cook. Was there a really memorable dish that you remember learning or tasting from your childhood?
Yeah, well, see, the thing is, when my dad, my mum died, I was 4, my next brother was 5, and my older brother was 7. And so in those days, there was no such thing as support for a single father. So a widower, there was no support at all. So we actually packed up our stuff from Melbourne and went back up to New South Wales and lived with my grandmother for about 5 years or 4 or 5 years. And so...
Was that his mum?
No, my mum's mum.
Oh, okay.
In a little place called Maitland, middle of rural Australia. And my nana cooked really well. So from the age of probably 6, I was cooking with her. And I loved it. I used to sit with her and I'd stand with her on a stool and cook with her. We had a combustion stove, so you had to load the stove with... Oh, my goodness me. You're trying to get me a bit tipsy.
That's what we liked to do.
We had a combustion stove, so my nana would go down and cut the wood, firewood,
wow.
until my brother was a little bit older, and then he'd do it in the morning. That's how we got hot water and had our stove. Without that, we didn't have hot water of a stove. And but my nana first taught me to cook a roast chicken, how to make gravy.
Yeah.
And how to roast the chicken. And
do you still do your gravy like your nana?
Exactly the same way.
Go and tell us.
Exactly the same way.
What do you do?
So the roasting tray has the chicken
yeah.
in it, and it usually has some onions in it, which have been roasted
yeah.
up with the chicken on top of it. Chicken always has water inside it with salt and pepper. Never season the outside because
yeah.
it doesn't work. And then
hold on, never season the outside of a chicken.
Only a little bit because the skin
yeah.
doesn't season the meat. The seasoning comes from the inside.
So you always season inside?
Inside.
I've never done that. Have you ever done that?
Inside.
Mum, have you ever
done
that?
I've done it with put seasoning on butter and put it under the skin, but not normally.
So if you look at the Chinese, right,
yeah.
where they put a duck, they roast the duck, they always put the stuff on the inside. And if you put lemon and garlic and parsley and stuff inside a chicken
yeah.
and a half glass of white wine and seal it all up, or the lovely Lisa does one, which you've probably seen, which is with creme fraiche.
Yeah.
She puts creme fraiche and lemon inside it. and then the seasoning goes inside the chicken.
And it makes it really moist.
Moist than everything else. So that's what my
Okay, yeah, I bung a load of stuff inside, but I've never done kind of this. You salt it inside too. Okay, thank you, John Troy, for your first tip.
And so she taught me that. And then you take the roasting tray. There's usually just a little bit of fat, and they're not very much in there. You put it on the stove, bring it to the boil. Add to it a couple of tablespoons or a tablespoon of flour, sprinkle it across the top, let it bubble up. When it bubbles up enough, then you start to stir it, and it's got to go slightly brown. And then you go right in the corners, as much as you possibly can in the corners, but take it off the heat a little bit. Mm. And then it's water. No stock, nothing else.
Not vegetable water.
If there's some around, maybe, but just water.
No, I would do.
You put vegetable water in.
Yeah, but it's my nana.
I always put the vegetable water.
I mean, she would probably keep that. She always had a dripping.
The cabbage sort of water.
Yeah, well, anything that was left over. I mean, it was probably beans usually.
Is your background, that you must have come from somewhere if you ended up in Australia. So where is your father from or your mother from?
My grandparents were, some of them were Irish. And then my grandfather came from Guernsey.
Oh, wow.
I got an amazing picture on my wall, actually, when he was 9 years old of the lighthouse at St. Michael's Mount, which he sketched when he was 9 years old before he left and went to Australia, which is really amazing.
Is Tarode a French name, then?
Tarode is apparently. Well, apparently, it's... this is my story. It's apparently it comes from Thor's rod.
Mm,
yeah,
wow.
It's in God of Thunder. But what... His rod, the one he holds, though, I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
So his Tarode is in his hand?
That's it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Better tell your son that.
Okay. I'll let him know. I was with a relative of Thor.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
He's He'll good looking Australian, isn't he,
yeah,
Thor?
Yeah.
He
is.
Yeah.
Very good.
Oh, God, yes.
So, what was the kind of first dish that you felt really proud of making when you were younger?
I remember going into secondary school and... deciding that they were going to do this thing and they wanted me to make something and we decided to make falafel. Now, why? I have no idea.
Why?
And no idea at all. But remember that Melbourne, that by this time we'd moved back down to Melbourne with my dad.
And what was this, like 80s, late 70s?
Late 70s, okay. Yeah, late 70s. Because in Australia, of course, we had there was a big Greek community, Italian community, Turkish community, and so we end up with falafel. And I made falafel, and I remember making these falafel, and we made, I think, enough for 100 people in my first year of secondary school. And I don't know why I did that.
Wow,
and I was really proud of it. We bought pita bread in, and we bought in some tahini and various things, and it was just great.
I often wonder, if you're a good cook, I mean, I don't mind cooking, but I don't know I could cook for hundreds of people. And you do in your restaurant now.
Well, now I don't have a restaurant, which I'm really pleased about.
Don't you?
No,
was it Smith's?
Smith's, yeah.
And I loved it.
And well,
we all loved it.
And you know what? The amount of babies that came out of that restaurant.
Which
I think is always a really good sign.
So you don't have one at all now?
No, that's why I'm sane.
Was
it so stressful
having a... Oh, you know, look, you consider the last
now
couple of years.
Now it'd be worse.
Anybody who's in the industry, whoever's done the last couple of years, congratulations to all of you, because it's amazing what you've done. It's tough. It's tough. There's no two ways about it.
Exhausting.
But so rewarding. You know, watching people and just, you know, the different clients and stuff. And years later, like you're saying, you loved it.
Mm.
And, we had different environments. And I really wanted the sort of power of Australians, egalitarian thought to go into Smith's. And so there was the greasy spoon downstairs and turned to a bar and DJs. There was cocktail bars. There was great food. And there was oysters and steaks. And there was dining rooms and burgers. And you'd come in a pair of shorts and a pair of flip-flops, what I call thongs, if you wanted to. You know, do what you want. You can dress up.
Now you don't have any competition because you're not in it. Who's your favourite chef?
Where
would you go for a celebration?
I actually got to give Ruthie Rogers a hug last night.
Aww. Oh, you went to River Cafe.
Yeah, and she came last night. And I haven't seen her for quite a while. And, you know, God rest her poor husband's soul. It's just awful. But she is, her and Rose, I'm almost about to cry. Rose was such an inspiration to me. I love her.
Yeah.
And I loved her. And when I first opened Mezzo, which was 1995, they came in for dinner. The next day, they sent me the biggest bunch of flowers I'd ever seen in my life. Just such lovely, wonderful
and
people.
And their generosity.
I'm gorgeous.
But their food, it's simplicity and delicious.
Yeah, and there's just something about that love that goes with it. And, you know, Rose would... would, you know, run across to Italy for the first lot of olive oil and bring back suitcases with her. And Francesco, who delivered the mozzarella, was doing my mozzarella. Greg, who, my lovely Greg Wallace, was supplying the fruit and veg and the pale aubergines to the River Cafe when we were doing stuff. So it was just, it was a sort of amazing time that was going on in the 90s. And I loved it. I mean, I was involved in this world. I could run away from Australia because I didn't drink beer. I didn't really fit in. I didn't play rugby, so I didn't really fit in. You know, and I found a place that I loved and I grew up in. And I changed and I became part of a family, I suppose. And so seeing, you know, Ruthie last night was just a really extraordinary thing. And then just everything they do and they touch is real. It's there for a reason. And if it's a piece of mozzarella and they slice it and they put olive oil over across the top of it, it's beautiful mozzarella with beautiful olive oil, and it's there for a reason. Mm. It's not frivolous. And it's not peacockish.
Oh, God. I love hearing you talk.
We haven't overdone it.
Well, I feel like maybe we've
peacocked a bit.
Well, actually, no, it's pretty simple.
I think
simple.
You've showed off a bit,
what are you
Jess,
talking about?
With your carrots.
Mum, I've done a carrot salad. I just thought you needed a bit of a cut and tang.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm looking at the soup here, which is as clear...
As a consomme.
Yeah. And all these people made a consomme. Well, can I say, come around here and you get yourself something which is absolutely bloody amazing.
She just puts a bit of paper towel on the top. Shoves it, don't you, Mum?
I did skim it.
You did, you skim it?
Yeah.
What do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah.
I think I've just gone to heaven.
It's
brilliant. Do we believe it? Do we believe in heaven?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jamie Oliver said they were the best matzo balls he's ever eaten. That's, I just want to tell
you
about.
Your matzo balls are beautiful, Mum.
Thank you so much. It is clear as clear as clear, and the matzo balls are fantastic.
They are. They're light.
Mum, if you went on MasterChef like celebrities...
I would not be able to do it.
Really?
I don't have enough recipes. I couldn't make up recipes. Like, I think... I think the guy that won last year was absolutely the most worthy winner because he was so amazing.
Eddie.
Pookie was something else, wasn't she?
TV gold.
She was absolutely amazing.
TV gold. I mean, absolutely incredible. I mean, have you seen Priscilla, the Queen of the Desert?
Mm.
That's as far as I'm going. But I mean, that's...
She was a kind of gay icon, wasn't she?
Incredible. And so much fun and so full of love and so full of caring.
And clever. Her food was... just to look at it.
Thought about
like
it
a
completely different way. When she did that invention test and made goldfish...
Oh, my God.
Not just... made goldfish.
Yeah.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
So for mains, we've got, Mum.
Right. So I've done this Lebanese lamb.
Mm.
Do you have a ginger pig near you?
No.
I love them. They're great.
They are very good. Yeah.
Fabulous meat.
Thank you.
So...
I have Hampstead Butcher.
Oh, you've got
Hampstead Butcher. So
didn't you used to live around here, though?
I did, yeah. It's just around the corner.
Yeah.
Like, literally, just around the corner there, and then just over there, over that way.
Yeah. I think I once saw you in Coolio's, the Italian restaurant in Battersea.
Probably.
Not in Battersea, in Ballam.
Ballam, yes, probably. And
that was a good one. I like their calamari. I used to do that.
Yeah, and the other one we used to go to all the time was the one on Northcote Road. The big
Bonacera.
Yeah.
That's like my childhood Bonacera.
I walk in there even now and it's hi, John. I
love it.
It's great, isn't it?
I love, they used to do that primavera pasta and I used to think.
But I like number six.
Oh, number six, a bit more fancy pants. But Bonacera is like...
Yeah.
It was always so fab.
Oh.
I've got an Iranian rice cooker.
That's you know what it is, of course you do.
Tell the world, Tadig.
How do you say it?
So I said call it Tadig. What do you call it?
Do you call it tablet?
I don't know what.
Oh, anyway, Tadig. It is Tadig, yeah.
So it's crispy bottom of the rice, which is crispy.
Yeah.
Yay!
What do you want, John? Do you want red or white?
I'll do whatever you want.
No, you say.
What do you feel like? She's got everything.
Because you said red first, I think you want red.
Okay, there's there red, darling.
There you go.
Thank you.
It's good here, I like it. So we've got a carrot salad, which is looking very zhuzh, and I believe by the smell of it's quite tangy.
Well, we'll see.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I've got the fluffiest rice in the world. Lovely salad. So it's what, the carrot one's there, and then what's the
carrot one's there, and the other one. This is a spinach, aubergine, pine nuts, sun-dried tomatoes, tahini and lime salad, kind of warm salad. Thank you.
No, I'll hold.
Oh, thank you.
I'll play, Mum.
I want to know what your favourite dish is that Lisa makes at the moment.
Okay. When Lisa cooks for me and it's usually I've had a sort of pretty hard, stressful day and I've been eating food which is really posh and it's all over the place.
Yeah.
She makes this amazing sausage and sourdough base. Now this sounds really odd, right?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, go on.
But she does sausages and onions in a big roasting tin and then roasts them so they get sort of all crispy and crunchy on the outside. Then there's stock added to it. Then there's bits of sourdough which are all sort of broken up. And then more stock's added and it goes back in the oven. So half the bread's soggy at the bottom, but it's crispy at the top. But it's not too hard.
It's kind of like a bread and butter. It's like kind of, what is it, like bread and butter?
It's like the best sausage sandwich, but hot, that you have to eat all at once.
So did she make it up?
She made it up.
Oh, she made up. Amazing.
With a bit of mustard. Honestly, I'm a bit, and after a day
you're
where
you're in heaven.
Just so happy.
Yeah.
So happy. And this, she, amazing cook. I mean, anything she does, she's amazing.
Do you need salt, anyone?
No. Yeah. Cheers. Sure? Thank you so much for being it's amazing.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you for coming. Wow.
Cheers.
So you're less of a sweet person. You love a cheese.
I actually love a dessert.
But not as much as Greg Wallace.
Well, no, I grew up, when I was a sort of young kid, I was told I had bad asthma and that they then took me off milk. So I didn't really have much dairy products. So I didn't really eat cream or ice cream or anything. So I never got that sort of sweet, what I call lactose sweet tooth, which I think a lot of young kids get. So, but I really appreciate a good dessert. Mm-hmm. But I don't suck on my spoon in the same way as the bald one does. Because he does have there is a majesty in the way in which he sucks on that spoon.
He just gets so excited.
But it's one of the joys, isn't it, of doing stuff like MasterChef and John and Lisa.
Are you doing that at the moment?
We just filmed 10 more.
So how's it working with your partner? You married?
Wife,
your wife. How are you? How
my
is
wife.
It? Yeah.
She's gorgeous.
Well, I need to ask
she's
about
the best
what
of
you
the
ate.
Three, I've got to say.
John! What?
Well, that's true. Anyway.
He must like being married.
Well, yeah, it's not cheap though. But anyway,
but you're working on your show. Or you
so
just
we just did 10 more episodes. So we go out in September through to October for the first bit. Then there's the whole thing to do with sport on ITV, and then we've got a whole Christmas New Year thing going out.
Nice.
And Christmas New Year does really well. People love it. It is what it is, and we just bounce off each other, and we like each other, and she's a good-looking girl.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Is she acting as well at the minute?
She's acting at the moment, but it's all secret what she's doing.
Okay. Is it exciting?
You can tell us.
I can't tell you. Unless I want to, I'd love to tell you.
Have another drink, John.
No, yeah, yeah. Let me tell you something. There's certain things we just don't talk about. But she's great. I mean, and she does so many different things.
I need to know about the wedding meal. You know, this is your third time having a wedding and a wedding meal. So I need to know, you know... I presume it was the best meal yet, but what did you eat? What and how were there arguments about this meal? Was it very important, or did you kind of go, you know what?
Well, no, because we have this thing that we do with people come around if you get to, invited to the Tyrode Fortner House, which I would hope that you might accept the invitation.
We're in.
So we do this thing where we roast the chicken,
yeah.
But we put lots of butter underneath the skin, and then we put truffles underneath the skin as well.
Wow.
And then we roast the chicken with lots and lots of onions and stuff in the tray. And then what we do then is we take the chicken out, and the tray goes to the table as a starter with bread.
And you just dip
genius.
Bread in the roasting tray, and you get all the juices and stuff.
Jesse, you've got to be confident to serve that.
I respect that. That's yeah. my kind of eating.
And then we just pull the chicken apart, usually serve it on top of something like Dauphinoise potatoes, and everybody just digs in and does what they want.
What sides would you have?
Just Dauphinoise potatoes and maybe with a green salad.
Oh, okay.
Lettuce
okay.
and some blue cheese, maybe. That's about it. And that was Bow Wedding. That's what we did for our wedding. So we had oysters first, and then a great friend of mine now from doing MasterChef years ago, Drew Baker, who's got Temper
Food. Oh, Drew Baker.
He's got his
Where's his restaurant?
He doesn't have a restaurant, but he does make charcuterie. Wow. He makes an amazing charcuterie.
He was one of the best.
Incredible.
And Tim, I thought, was great.
Which one was Tim?
American.
Tim's the American who's mad about Japanese.
He was on my one.
Oh, was he on yours? He's mad about Japanese food.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's a lovely, lovely man. Lovely, lovely man, and quite unusual and quite interesting. But yeah, so we did that. We did so charcuterie, and then we did oysters, and we had some fizz, and then we had the juice of the truffles and chicken and Dauphinoise potatoes and some salads down the middle of the table, and we made everybody serve themselves. Because there's nothing worse than going to a function and getting a plate of food and you don't want to eat it all. Because you're not hungry, or you don't want to eat it, or you don't like it.
What's your favourite? We were trying to work out what your favourite food is, and I think I know from MasterChef that you quite like food, quite spicy food, fusion, Japanese, or things like, or am I wrong, Asian food?
He nearly shed a tear yesterday at River Cafe.
I know you love
Italian food, but you do like quite like
I do, but I love Thai food because I arrived in Thailand because I didn't have milk and dairy, and I didn't have things like ice cream, and you know, my brothers were having ice cream and strawberry topping and stuff. I never had those, what I would call, bursts of flavour. I had sort of stuff which was pretty ordinary as a kid in Australia.
And was your asthma really that bad?
Not anymore.
I've got my inhaler upstairs.
So why did you
don't
get
use it? Don't do it anymore.
So what happened?
I decided I wasn't going to use any medication.
And?
I'm fine.
And are you eating ice cream now?
I eat yoghurt. Lots of yoghurt. Because apparently yoghurt, and Tim Spector, the great man who looks after people's guts.
Oh, your gut.
Yeah, he says that, it starts to eat the lactose. So therefore, you don't have the amount of lactose in yogurt. So I eat yogurt.
Jesse, maybe that's
huge
what
amount.
You should do.
That's interesting, because I think I've got a lactose intolerance, because I've been doing that FODMAP thing, which has been a fucking pain in the arse. And I think lactose is my issue, but I didn't want to go to Greece and not be able to have Greek yogurt with a nectarine and honey.
Talk to Tim.
Really?
I mean, honestly, he does. I've read lots of his stuff, but talk to him, because I reckon he'll probably help you out. But I mean, I eat yogurt now with fruit and almonds and stuff all the time.
I think yogurt is fine, Jesse.
Yeah,
but milk I can't do.
Yeah, and I'm okay with milk. I can live without
it. Cheese you don't eat.
Apparently you can have like hard cheeses, but just like quite small quantities.
And the other thing he always says is about unpasteurized. As long as it's living, your gut will eat it. And that's the thing, so much stuff has not been done. Anyway, back to Thailand. Because of that, when I went to Thailand, there were these amazing flavours. And there was no dairy. And I could eat anything I wanted. Yeah. And it was just... And the
exciting.
Other thing
is, exciting.
When it's that hot sometimes on the street, like as far as temperature, and then there's food that's like that as well, and you're watching all the locals eating it, it's not for tourists. You go and you're eating food that everybody's eating, because that's the way they do. And when you eat it, and there's so much chili in it, you've got this amazing buzz. I mean, it was... And don't drink booze. So when you're in Thailand, you don't really drink booze. You just go out and eat. You Greek papaya salad and with salty crab, and you just walk along the street and go, woo, I feel fantastic. Thanks very much. It's great. I love that food.
I've never been to Thailand.
However, if I went to France and I had a piece of roast chicken, or I went to France and had a baguette and a tomato. Baguette, butter, tomato, salt on it. Thanks for...
I know.
It's something... I want stuff that just tastes good. Like your food.
I think that's...
Just, it, but it, I you think know, that, it tastes... The rice tastes of rice. Yeah. It's cooked beautifully. It's cooked there. The lamb tastes of lamb, and it's cooked beautifully. That's all. That's
Thank
it.
Thank you, John.
But that's it.
I'm going to cry.
But that's all you want, isn't it?
But I think, like, when we go to Greece, peaches taste of peach. Mm. And tomatoes, I'm sure they're not all grown in
No, but Scotland. I think one of the things that we forget, and one of the things I really still love about Thailand, is they don't have refrigeration. Anywhere you go to eat, nothing's ever been refrigerated. It comes from a farm, it goes to a market. It goes from a market to a market stall, and it's sold. And a peach that you're talking about in Greece, or an apricot that you get when you're in somewhere like Menorca or Mallorca, and it's been in the sunshine, it's never seen a fridge.
I know. Mm.
And therefore, it's not been held back. It's like blooming and blossoming. Yeah. And for anybody who actually wants their strawberries to taste like strawberries, put them on a table out in the garden for a day.
Yeah.
Let the flies have as much fun as they like with it, but let the sunshine get it, and then go out there and smell what happens to that strawberry. And the same as a tomato. Leave your tomatoes in your fruit bowl. Don't put it in the fridge. Yeah. You let them, and when you walk in the kitchen, leave the truss on them, you'll smell that, you know, that lovely smell of a tomato. And I think that's what is, you know, a baguette in France has never seen a fridge. Mm. It doesn't come out of a plastic bag which has been frozen. It's some guy who's, you know, there and sweated all over it, which just adds to the flavour, guys.
This is a galette that I made with Jessie's damsons.
From my garden.
Yeah.
How many damsons have you got?
Too many. Too many. Well, I mean, like...
Freeze them, send them along.
No, I've got so many, but, you know, you have to check that some don't have maggots. None of these do, because we've checked them. Sorry, right. So enjoy...
Well, they've been cooked anyway.
They've been cooked, but also cooked there's no maggots. But, I did a pavlova at the weekend with roasted damsons and hazelnuts, and that was really nice. But I was like, just take some damsons. So Mum has made damson galette.
Oh, my goodness, mate.
Right,
I'm
so
excited.
So I've made this damson galette, but the real star should have been this, which looks like it's got a little bit of something. Though.
It's probably got maggot from
maggot.
Maggot from the damson.
So I've got two lovely friends who live in Greece, where I go to, and they did their own olive oil. So I thought I'd make olive oil ice cream. So I thought I'll push the boat out. It's Jaunta Road. And I got Bertha brown eggs.
And that's why that's bright.
It's bright orange.
Yeah. And it's gone orange. It looks like it's our mandarin.
It should really look pale, kind of yellow.
Yes. I think
so
it looks
I'm
lovely.
I'm very, very sorry about
that. I think it's the surprise.
Yeah.
How amazing.
I think she was hesitant.
Are you allowed
to tell me how you did. Yes, I will eat ice cream. Olive oil ice cream.
It's got milk in.
That's fine. I'll be really, really good. But,
right, do you want to cut
Do you know about
dams
and vodka?
Well, no. I'm going to be making it.
That's what I told Jessie.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing it all.
But you've got to freeze them first.
Oh,
or,
really?
Or you take the skins and you've got to prick them with a fork. Because otherwise they don't leach out the juice.
So, hon, freeze them first, then prick them.
No, if you freeze them first, they pop.
Okay.
That's why you freeze them, so you don't have to worry about it. Big bag.
Yeah.
And then smack them around a little bit.
Yeah,
and
so
then
the
freeze
skins break.
Them. Yeah, so they break and they sort of start to bleed. Then into a jar, bit of sugar, and then the cheapest vodka or gin you can buy.
That's
And that's everyone's
suggest.
Christmas.
But
how long
do
you need to leave it for?
3 months. If you do them now,
Christmas
presents. Time.
Well, I think that's what we're going to be having to bloody do because there's literally so many. They're taking over.
They are an interesting thing, damson, because a lot of people don't know, and they are hard to work with.
I don't think
they're more tart.
I don't know how
than
this
a plum,
is very
right?
tart.
I love the fact they're really tart, and in a tart, they're tart.
Thank you, John. You're so helpful. Thank you.
Thank God.
The ice cream's delicious.
The ice cream's bloody good.
Yeah, one. Really good. That's amazing.
This is a bit sharp, isn't
it? It's sharp, but it's okay because you've got this ice cream.
I think the whole thing's amazing.
I love it. John, we haven't even bloody asked you about your Last Supper. Jesus, we've been too busy guessing.
Your best guest.
Last Supper.
Starter, main, purge, drink, choice.
What upsets me is that I've got to die at this stage.
No, you don't. You're going on a desert island for 6 months.
Sorry, it's my last supper. It's the last thing I ate. I don't know
if
any of you know this, but last means you don't have any more.
Okay, well, we had to change it because she got upset.
Last supper.
Last before you go on the desert island.
Okay, so the deal is, realistically for me, well, if I go on the desert island, well, I don't know about that. See, desert island, I've got my...
You're taking it all too literally. Just give me your favourite starter, main and purge, John.
I've just been told off by your daughter. She's had enough now. She wants to go home. This is where she gets tired and she wants to go to bed, isn't that? This is it. The car's outside. I need to go to bed, dear. Anyway, so it's going to be a pair of shorts, It's got to be barefoot. It's got to be on a beach. There's got to be sand between my toes. The sun's got to be shining. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would never do starter, main course, and dessert ever. I would always do lots of little things that I have, so tasty bits and pieces, because I can never really decide on one thing. So, like when I'm at the River Cafe, it's got to have lots of different things. All
you're
the time.
My kind of guy, honestly. That's how I like to. Yeah, you've got to. So, to have a good opinion on it.
Yeah, so I'd probably have to go sort of wandering along the sort of beach stalls in somewhere like an island in Thailand somewhere. Mm. And somebody might be grilling some fish,
and
some fish cakes.
Thai.
And then some chilies or whatever. And then a really large glass of probably rosé with lots of ice in it.
You
I know
see, I
Neanderthal.
Got to
Neanderthal having ice in my wine. I know. I don't really give a shit. Bad luck. That's the way I like it. And then afterwards, once I've done it all, take my shorts off and go into the water naked.
Oh, John Turode, you big nudist, naturist.
Well, do you know what?
Exclusive. You got it here.
If the Germans can do it on the islands of Mallorca and Menorca.
Is that what you were doing in Menorca?
What I saw.
Bit of mayonnaise and naked swimming.
Goodness me.
You see things you'd wish you'd never seen.
Honestly. I mean, forget the Last Supper, darling.
So what's the pudding in this situation?
No. I don't think you're a big pudding person.
No. I've done lots
Some
of different
fruit.
Courses. Oh, I tell you what. Best bit of dessert. Jean-Georges, New York. Jean-Georges von Richter, who amazing chef, but Jean-Georges, the big restaurant, really, really posh, had about 9 courses. Man comes to the table and he says to us, gentlemen, it's time for marshmallow. So he's got this sort of big jar and he pulls out big lots of marshmallows and cigar cutter and chops off bits of marshmallow. In the meantime, he's carving a pineapple at the side of the table. He's got dried mint and sugar in a mortar and pestle, grinds the mint and the sugar together, slices the pineapple, which is ripe and warm, like it's just come off of a tropical tree, puts it on a plate, sprinkles it with some kirsch, and then... Did you like that?
I really like the ice cream.
The clink of the bowls, ladies and gentlemen, is Jesse actually eating the rest of the bowl and now going back with some
more. No, I can't.
No, you can't. She won't sleep. You know, she's got to go home and sleep now.
Don't. Anyway, go on.
And they kirsch across the top and then just sugar and mint across the top, but a pineapple. Honestly?
That sounds amazing.
Best thing of all the 9 courses we had while we were there.
And which restaurant's this?
It's called Jean-Georges in New York.
John Troy, before we, not let you go, but...
You mean before you go home to bed?
Before I fuck off.
Do you like karaoke? You go to Thailand.
My voice is really shit.
Does it
That's
matter?
That's okay.
Yeah,
That's better.
I'm sort of one of those things where I like to dance, right? And that's another reason why I wasn't very invited into Australia. I was a really shit Australian. I mean, really, really shit Australian.
Why?
Well, I don't drink beer.
Okay.
I don't like Australian rock music. I mean, I literally hate it. I was a New Romantics fan completely, which meant I wear makeup and stuff like that. So I was definitely... You know, on the wrong side of the fence, mate. Oh, yeah, bats for the wrong side.
All right.
And I didn't play very much sport, so I was very much not an Aussie. So, karaoke, yeah, I'd like... every so often I do it.
So what would be your new romantic song that you do?
Gold.
Spandau Ballet! Oh, my
that.
God! Yeah. It is a great
Always
song.
Always believe in your soul.
I know, it's an anthem.
You got... I mean, Tony Hadley, right? So Tony Hadley,
My
yellow Toyota, Beach Road, 18 years old, cassette player, windows down, listening to Gold! And suddenly, Celebrity Master, he turns up.
How did you deal with that?
Did
you say your food's really good, I love you?
Yeah, and I did. We still have this mutual love affair, me and him. He's great. He's lovely. He's a really great guy. And then he came back into another year as well with us. But he's just brilliant.
Do you have good table manners?
I think he's done all right,
I hope so. I'm not very good with table manners. I'm not very good with people who are awful at tables.
Oh, really?
Why, have you got criticism?
No, I'm interested because I guess, I wonder whether people ever criticise you.
Does anybody want more ice cream before I put it in the fridge?
Whether anybody criticises you on Twitter when, you know, you're eating your food and it's hard when you're on telly.
Do you actually go on Twitter still?
No, I've come off
it. It's the most awful place in the whole world.
Yeah.
But the fact is that there was this thing of, oh, you've got your mouth full. I eat for a living.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, watch me. I'm eating my food and trying it out.
Mum.
You're right there, Danny.
Yeah, you're right.
Sorry. just wanted to get it in, as the actress said to the bishop.
So people complain that you've got your mouth full, that you're trying to eat the food.
And when you try, we go to eat your food, and you're so excited about it, and you want to say something, and you're looking at somebody, and they're, because you know, some people are just waiting to know what you say, you want to say. And when you really love it so much, and you can't do much else about it, you've got to sometimes just compose yourself. But yeah, no, I think table manners are really important. I think they make a massive. I think they're like a language. Mm. They're either one of, you know, I try and instill in my children that it's a really good idea to make sure that you're well behaved at a table.
Do any of them want to be chefs?
I hope not.
Really?
No. They don't want chef's arse. It's the worst affliction in the whole world. Do you know about chef's arse?
Chef's arse.
You've been doing this podcast for how many years?
Oh, I've never
I'm
heard
learning
this.
So much.
You've never heard of chef's arse?
No, I have
okay,
not.
Okay, so when you first start in kitchens, right, and it's really, really hot, and I suppose it happens more in Australia, but what happens when you sweat a lot as a chef and you're over a stove,
your
back's up, sweat goes down your back.
Mm, yeah.
And then what happens is the sweat goes into the crack of your bum.
Yeah.
Right, and then, of course, you turn around to serve your food, and then because your bum's towards the stove, then it dries out the sweat in your bum.
Oh,
well, the sweat's got salt in it, right? So eventually there's so much salt built up inside the crack of your bum that as it sort of rubs together,
Stop.
It's like nappy rash. Seriously. Oh, yes, nappy rash.
I think I got it tonight.
What, chef's ass? <Yes. laughs> Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I remember this great story about somebody being caught with their bum in a tub full of corn flour, because corn flour apparently stops all the sweat. Now,
why has no one given us this information in the past 5 years? Thank you, John Turow.
No problems at all. I think it's good to impart knowledge.
So chef's arse.
Has nobody ever talked about chef's arse?
No!
How come?
Maybe they aren't as open and honest as you. John Turow, you've been the most fantastic guest. I wish we could just keep on chatting, so we'll just have to carry on having dinners together again. And thank you so much.
And now I know what time your bedtime is. When you come for dinner, I know what time I've got to get you out.
Oh, no. Late lunch works for me. Then
Jessica!
Oh, brilliant! Yeah. 4 o'clock?
Yeah, and then you... Jessie! Don't you think that's good?
Fucking ace.
Because then everyone spots this is it. Off by
that's
like,
it, yeah. You know, okay, everybody.
Do you like this too?
Let's do a new one called...
What?
Late lunch.
Late lunch and fuck off.
Late lunch.
Turow didn't want to get at it.
Darling, I'm just slightly a bit in love.
What, with the fact that he likes to swim naked like Edmund?
No, darling, it's not that. Oh, ping.
He's texted you.
No, he's not.
He's given us the date for dinner. Oh, he's saying we're having the roast chicken with the truffle.
No.
He was such good fun. Honestly, I haven't laughed. He was so fun. The fact that I met him on like a set and he...
He remembered your lactation.
How could you forget?
No.
I'm glad that now your lactating boob is now the
chicken
last thing.
Soup. The last thing you'll remember is my lactating chicken soup.
Oh, God. But I love it that you were like, I said in the intro, well, just it's to not embarrass him, let's not like talk about the boob situation in MasterChef. And you
first
were completely appalled
said.
First thing he said. He was so sweet, generous,
warm, funny,
opinionated.
Ate everything.
Gave us everything and more. I just, like, the perfect table manners guest.
Yeah, perfect.
Have I done enough cleaning up?
Not really, but it's fine.
Thank you, John Turow, for being such a fantastic guest on Table Manners. Can't wait to eat him and Lisa's food.
Me neither.
I mean, you know.
Now we know how to cook a chicken. I've been doing it wrong for 70 years.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, but I can understand the seasoning thing, because we always you put garlic and you put...
I'm going to actually, you know what? I'm going to put it out to the listeners. Please email us, hello@tablemannerspodcast.com.
How
you do your chicken, because obviously we all shove a lemon up the butt and all that.
And an onion.
And an onion and thyme, whatever. I usually put butter under the skin, but I've never thought to season inside the carcass. So I want to know how many other people have been doing it wrong for the whole of their lives.
Can I just say my tadlik, or whatever you call it, was perfect.
Tadik. We should really learn how to say
it. It was perfect tonight.
Beautiful.
It was so crispy.
He said two things were beautiful.
What?
Your rice and your lamb.
The lamb was good, wasn't it? Good old Steve.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. The music you've heard on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. Table Manners is produced by Alice Williams.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.